B-Pod Studios.
The tour's done an enormous amount for these players, protects these players enormously, generates enormous wealth from them, and these guys are talking like the tour does nothing for them, and they're out here because they're going after this guaranteed money, because they feel like they've been abused by the PGA Tour. I don't get it.
Stay with us, and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenics Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, once again, we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. You want super sales and service? Head to the Unbox Store. Greater Golf Express in Pineville. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver for only $299.99. Save $200. Bottom line, you need it. Greater Golf Express has it, and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT_golfguy, and as you can tell from that opening piece, there's some serious discussion regarding the LIV Tour and those participating in it today. This story's so fluid right now that it's hard to keep current. At the time of recording our conversations with Ron Cyrak of RonCyrak.com and the Golf Channel, as well as our resident PGA Master Teaching Professional Nick Jacoby, the PGA Tour had not yet issued their response to all the players who have chosen to participate in LIV Golf events. That has changed. I'm quoting now. These players have made their choice for their own financial-based reasons, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan wrote in a memo to the tour's membership, but they can't demand the same PGA Tour membership benefits, considerations, opportunities, and platform as you. That expectation disrespects you, our fans, and our partners. You have made a different choice, which is to abide by the tournament regulations you agreed to when you accomplished the dream of earning a PGA Tour card, and more importantly, to compete as part of the preeminent organization in the world of professional golf. LIV Golf's response? Well, in a statement, they called the PGA Tour's punishment vindictive and said, quote, "It deepens the divide between the tour and its members. It's troubling that the tour, an organization dedicated to creating opportunities for golfers to play the game, is the entity blocking golfers from playing." LIV Golf goes on. This certainly is not the last word on this topic. The era of free agency is beginning, as we are proud to have a full field of players joining us in London and beyond. Kids, cue the lawyers. That's where this is heading next. In the meantime, as I mentioned, we'll be deep diving into this subject again this week with our guests. But first, well, the USGA conducted the United States Women's Open last week at Pine Needles, and that event must be recognized, and there's no better person to do that with than Ron Cyrak. Ron, for starters, my opinion of Pine Needles as a venue has changed within the confines of this last U.S. Open. After day one, I was like, oh my gosh, has the game passed this by? I don't want to see, 24 under winning the United States Open. No. I don't want to see that. I like them to be tested. By the end of the weekend, I had completely changed opinion because I'm reminded of something that the Open Championship on the men's side says, and that is we're not here to torture the best golfer in the world. We're here to identify the best golfers in the world. And at the end of the weekend, correct me if I'm wrong, did we not have four of the top 10 in the world right there in the mix for the U.S. Open Championship? That course identified who the best golfers were.
Yeah, the top four in the world finished in the top eight at Pine Needles. And, you know, early in the week, I thought eight under par would win the golf tournament. And if you throw out Minji Lee, I came pretty close. She was the only person double digits under par. Pine Needles is, in my mind, it's a brilliant golf course in the way that, and I'm not comparing it to Augusta National, but what I'm saying is like Augusta National, good shots are highly rewarded. You know, if you hit a good shot, if you hit your target, you can make birdies. But you don't have to miss your target by much to get in trouble there. You miss your target by a yard or two, you're down in one of those collection areas, and making an up and down is really difficult. I thought it was a great test. They had near-perfect weather conditions, really hot the first day, got some rain overnight, softened the course, and then not a whole lot of wind not a whole lot of heat after that. And still, I think that it held up brilliantly well. As I said, Minji Lee is the only one who got the double digits under par.
Yeah, last time that the ladies were down here in the Sand Hills was in 14 when they did the back-to-back U.S. Opens at number two. And I'll say this about Pine Needles, and I think this is kind of what you were saying. I can make you an argument that at times number two can be unfair, especially around the greens. I thought Pine Needles in the setup was extremely fair. Like you said, if you hit a good shot, you were rewarded for it. You hit a bad shot, you were not so much. And there's times when you're playing number two where you hit a good shot, a really good shot, and you're not rewarded for it. And so I'm with you on that.
You know, the USGA has learned an enormous amount about how to set golf courses up for women. And they learned a lot of it at number two in 2014. The men went first, then the women came. USGA went out and they hired PGA Tour caddies who in the U.S. Open, and they got information from them on what clubs were the men hitting into every green. And then when they set number two up for the women the next week, they tried to set it up so the women would be hitting the same clubs in. If men were hitting a 7-iron into a hole, they wanted the women to be hitting a 7-iron in. So they ended up playing the course shorter than they originally were playing par four, you know? Getting the hybrid into a par, you're not going to keep it on the green. You got to be hitting a short iron in. They set the course up that way. I think not only did the course hold up brilliantly, but I think the USGA did a great job of in the setup.
How much of this can be attributed to Mike Wan, or is it too soon?
I think it's probably, you know, I think all of that I just said, it's too soon to attribute to Mike Wan. I do think that he probably nudged along the increase from $5.5 million to $10 million in purse, and it's going up to $12 million in a couple of years there. Look, the first U.S. Women's Open I covered was 1996 at Pine Needle when Annika Sorenstam won. The total purse that year was $1.2 million. Minji Lee won on Sunday 50% more than the entire field won in 1996.
Well, that's progress. I mean, if the ladies' game has been hollering and screaming for progress, that is undeniable progress.
And I think Mike Wan is now using his position as CEO of the USGA to set the bar high for everybody else. He said, okay, we're at $10 million. Are you going to come with us? And we're seeing some of the other majors, you know, they're all getting north of $5 million. They're all nudging up towards him. Now we've got to see if some of the other tournaments come along. You know, there are still tournaments on tour where the winner's check is going to be probably, what, about the 12th or 15th player in the U.S. Open got. So there's a ways to go in some of the general tournaments. But Mike Wan has set the bar high for the majors.
Thank you for bringing up Annika Sorenstam. I was eating at an outdoor restaurant on Friday afternoon as she was finishing up. And well, I guess it was Friday evening as she was finishing up. And it was just kind of neat. The magic hour in terms of lighting was there and was watching her finish. And I was reminded of Jack finishing at Valhalla in 2000 at the PGA. It was nice to see arguably the greatest women's professional golfer of all time sort of have the stage to herself, it seemed, at the end of Friday. Her whole family was there. It was great to see her kids. It was great to see, you know, for so many years you had this image of Annika as this hardened competitor. And so nice to see the softened side of Annika, the mom side of Annika, and just to see the appreciation everybody had for her being there. I just thought it was a great moment for a great champion.
Yeah, you know, there was a point at which I wondered whether she had second thoughts about playing because, you know, previous to this, the last shot she ever hit in the U.S. Women's Open was holing a 6-iron for eagle at Interlaken, you know, in the last Open she played. Now her last round's in 81. But I do think part of what Annika is doing is she is very gracefully transitioning into her role as a ceremonial golfer and a promoter of the women's game. And I think she viewed that's why she was there. I think she knew. I talked to her after she won the Senior Women's Open last year, and I asked her at that point, hey, might you consider being a captain's pick for the Solheim Cup team this year? And she said, you know, I think this is the distance I need to play. She said, referring to the distance for the Senior Women's Open. And she found out at Pine Needles it was too much golf course for her. There were some par fours there where in the restoration they'd done at Pine Needles, they put fairway bunkers in. With driver, she was bringing those bunkers into play. Some of the young, she was playing with Ingrid Lindblad the first couple of days, and Ingrid would blow the ball over the fairway bunkers. Annika had the layup short of him and then would have a long club into the green. It was just too much golf course for her. But I think she wanted to do this as a family thing, and I think she also wanted to do it as a promotional thing for the women's game. She knew she was bringing attention to the event.
Let's talk about the champion, Minji Lee. She just pulled off her first major championship last year and didn't take long to add to the total. It's amazing to me. It seems to happen in the women's game more than the men's game, that once they get that first one, that second one is not far behind a lot of the time.
Yeah, she's now won two of the last four majors played. I tracked down Kari Webb over the weekend. Kari's been Minji's mentor in Australia. She's known her since Minji was about 13 years old. And Kari said that that Minji has grown enormously in the last 2 years as a player. She has 11 second-place finishes, 10 third-place finishes on the LPGA. And Kari says she's learned from those near misses. She's learned how to get it done. And Kari said that last year, when she got her first major at the Amundi Avion Championship, that Minji learned she can win without her best stuff. And that was a big step forward. She's 26 years old. She's now got 8 wins and 2 majors. And I think we're seeing a player now whose belief system is catching up to her ability. She finally believes in how good she is. She finally realizes how good she is. And I think we're going to see more special stuff from her down the road.
Based on what you said with her second and third place finishes, is she not analogous to a young David Duval?
That was really one of the ones that I thought of, you know. And I was sort of thinking, too, you know, she could be the LPGA's Scottie Scheffler, you know, in the sense that, you know, Scottie was one of those people that we kept saying for several years, boy, once he gets the first one, they're going to come in bunches. And they did. And it's not like Minji hasn't won. She had won 7 previous times, spread out over I guess 6 or 8 years. But now I think we're going to see the wins come in bunches. I would not be surprised, you know, if this year turned into a 5-win, 2-major season for her.
I want to talk about some injuries on the LPGA Tour. One that I was unaware of that just saying it scares me, and that is this spinal tumor with Danielle Kang. Ouch, what are we dealing with? How serious is this?
Yeah, I was unaware of it until I got to Pine Needles also. We still don't know how serious it is. The last I talked to her, they do not know if it's a malignant or a benign tumor.
Oh.
But she has said this week, essentially, she's taken herself, she's not going to play any tournaments for about another month. And that includes the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, where she is, of course, a past champion in that event. So it looks like she's taking at least the month of June off. We don't know what's going to go after that. I suppose a lot of it depends on what the tests show and what kind of treatment they have to do going forward. But she has had considerable back pain, and that was her first tip-off. Something was going on.
I mean, and this is one of the most charismatic, fun people on the LPGA Tour. If she is unable to compete for any significant period of time, it's not just a loss for her, it's a loss for the game, I think.
One of my favorite memories was the 2019 Solheim Cup at Glen Eagles, Scotland, and morning singles matches on Sunday. She was the first match out. She was playing Carlotta Singanda, and when she stepped onto the first tee, the crowd was cheering, going wild, and they all got quiet, and she just turned around and encouraged them to stand up and cheer while she was hitting. And, she embraces, she plays with a lot of passion, and she embraces an atmosphere around the game that's really good for the game.
Give me an update on Nelly Korda.
She shocked me. She played way better than I thought. To be gone for almost 4 months from competition, and look, the one thing you can't practice on the range is the pressure of competition. To return to any tournament after 4 months, let alone a major championship, let alone the U.S. Women's Open, you know, to a course set up by the USGA, the fact that she played as well as she did really showed me that she's hitting the ground running. She goes into the next major, the KPMG Women's PGA, as the defending champion. And I expect her to be as much, if not more, of a factor there as she was at the Women's Open.
Final thoughts on the U.S. Women's Open in terms of, we've already talked about the prize money being increased. Also, the exposure was increased. A few days out from it now, what were the ratings like? Were they pleased with the exposure they got? Are they looking at getting more network time moving forward?
Yeah, the ratings were, let's put it this way. They held their own against the Memorial. You know, they were up against a pretty significant PGA Tour event up there, and they held their own. I think that they fell a little bit behind it. But just the simple fact that they got network TV exposure on the weekend rounds is enormous. The fact that NBC, before the Sunday round, put on an hour documentary on Annika Sorenstam, before they went launched into their 4 hour, they put an hour Annika documentary on, then launched into 4 hours of tournament coverage. All that's good for the game. I know that when Mike Wann was commissioner of the LPGA, one of the things, he had two goals that he wanted to do. One, increase prize money. Two, increase network TV exposure on the weekends. And I think that you saw in his first year running a Women's U.S. Open, he managed to do both of those.
From RonCyrak.com and the Golf Channel, that's Ron Cyrak. And up next, get ready, as together we take dead aim at where we are now with the LIV Tour and how we should feel about all this. And that means we've reached the Greater Golf Express Halfway House on the show this week. You want super sales and service? Head to the Unbox Store, Greater Golf Express in Pineville. Looking for the Callaway Maverick Irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. You need it? Greater Golf Express has it, and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza Pineville.
Attention all golfers, the Unbox Store's super sales event continues.
Are you still shopping at the boring old box store? Stop and head to Greater Golf Express in Pineville, the Unbox Store, where you get super pricing, super service, and super selection. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver, only $299. Save $200. Looking for the Callaway Maverick Irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. Ready to stock up on Titleist golf balls? Get the Titleist Pro V1. Pro V1 X Left Dash and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, two for $75 while supplies last. Greater Golf Express is located in Pineville in the Centrum Shopping Center right next to Home Depot. If you haven't shopped the Unbox Store, you're paying too much. Bottom line, if your game needs it, Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less, or greatergolfexpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Ron Cyrak is a past recipient of the PGA of America's Lifetime Achievement Award for Journalism and one of the most thoughtful journalists in the golf world. It is for that reason I really wanted to take the opportunity to discuss the LIV Tour with him. I would be remiss if I did not ask you about LIV Golf a little bit. It just seems that it is all over the news this week, and each day it's fast and furious. We started off having DJ resign from the PGA Tour, Kevin Na resigned from the PGA Tour, Phil Mickelson was added to the field, and then all of a sudden, as we're recording this, Bryson DeChambeau says he's going to play on the LIV Tour, as is Patrick Reed. The number of significant players are starting to increase. I thought that the LIV Tour got a significant shot in the arm yesterday when the USGA refused to ban players from playing in it. Mike Wann saying, hey, look, if they're qualified to play, then they can play. Your thoughts on kind of where we are and where this is going right now?
Well, the first thing, I drove back from Pinehurst back to Cape Cod where I live, and yesterday I was driving through the New York City media market area. I had New York Sports Talk Radio on, and they got the Yankees playing great, the Mets playing great, and the Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoff, and they were talking about golf on Sports Talk Radio.
Wow.
I mean, that's so in a sense, it's a good thing because it moved golf to the front burner, and they were dealing with some, you know, and the comparisons to salaries on Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, and golf are, I mean, that's really apples and oranges, because in the team sports, you've got collective bargaining agreements, and everything is negotiated that way, and there are long-term contracts. There isn't in golf. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here. I think that left unsaid in the USGA statement is what they did say was that it was too late to make any changes for this year. Well, it was also unfair to make any changes for this year because you established what the qualifications were to get in the U.S. Open at the beginning of this year before LIV even existed. So it's too late to change it now. I think they left the door open that, and I expect to see this. I think the people who run the four major championships are going to sit down with the PGA Tour towards the end of this year after the major championship seasons are over and talk about this and figure out what they want to do. Now, I do think for all the majors, well, Augusta National, I mean, they can do whatever they want. But the other ones, they recognize the official world golf rankings. And if world golf rankings are going to be awarded to those who participate in LIV, or they play enough on other tours to get into the top 60 to qualify, it's going to be hard to keep them out. And particularly for the U.S. Open and the British Open, because they have the word "open" in their title.
Yes,
I'm going to be fascinated to see where it goes from here. You know, how many more players join in. And what kind of exposure it gets. Without a big part of what makes, and I think this, I believe this from, for 14 years, I did the all-encompassing money list for Golf Digest magazine on off and on course and earnings for players. And all those logos players have on them, all those endorsement deals they have are worth money because of how much TV time they get. So, are the Saudis going to be able to throw enough money at them that they're willing to lose all their endorsement deals for the lack of exposure that they're going to get? That'll be something to see, too. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Philosophically, one thing that I just can't seem to get off of my mind is I'm wondering why the sports world in particular, but the world in general, has decided to brand these golfers with a scarlet S, and I say that because I believe they're asking an awful lot of contract professional athletes when the President of the United States is about to go over to Saudi Arabia and beg them for oil and do business with the Saudis. We do business with Iran. We do business with China. The LPGA Tour and the PGA Tour has and will continue to do business with China. Not exactly known for their human rights record either. I just think that I wonder am I just imagining this? It just seems to me that there's a big piling on and a lot of hypocrisy that can be pointed out. Am I missing something?
Well, I think that the hypocrisy here is more of the disloyalty that people like Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson are showing towards the PGA Tour. They act like the PGA Tour did nothing from them but steal from them, when in fact the PGA Tour negotiates sponsors, finds title sponsors for tournaments, negotiates deals with them, negotiates TV deals, finds venues for the tournament, provides the staff, the media, the rules staff, the agronomy staff, and everything, sets up the tournaments. And, oh, when the player arrives at the airport for the tournament, they get their free car for the week, plus they get the best pension plan in all of sports. And, oh, by the way, the PGA Tour protects those players who have been fined or suspended for using recreational drugs, their name is, by deal with the tour, kept private. They're not exposed for that. That doesn't happen in any other sport. Any other sport, if somebody's fined or suspended for a drug violation, that's made public. The tour's done an enormous amount for these players, protects these players enormously, generates enormous wealth from them, and these guys are talking like the tour does nothing for them, and they're out here because they're going after this guaranteed money, because they feel like they've been abused by the PGA Tour. I don't get it.
Now, I will agree with you on that. I will, and if the tour wants to say, hey, look, this is what's really pissed us off, is this disloyalty, and to point all that stuff out, then I've got absolutely not only did I not have a problem with it, I agree with it. My issue is, it seems that they're hiding behind this whole sport washing issue and all this, when from a philosophical and geopolitical standpoint, that's about as hypocritical as it gets.
Well, those players, PGA Tour players, who are very involved in gambling, and I think that we know who they are,
yes,
should know that if you gamble in Saudi Arabia, you were publicly caned. Those people who've been suspended for drug use on the PGA Tour, and I think we know who they are, should know that you could be executed in Saudi Arabia for drug use. So, there is, and those players are playing in a pro-am, probably even as we speak, with representatives of the governments that does those. So, there's a hypocrisy there that is staggering.
Now, in terms of the heads of the five families, being the PGA Tour and the four majors, the heads of the five families getting together at the end of the year and discussing things, realistically, the men of the Masters privately, it's probably safe to say, do some business in their business dealings with some unsavory people. So I don't know if I see the Masters banning people, but Augusta National does whatever Augusta National does. They always have, always will. The RNA and the USGA, I was talking with someone today who says, you know what, if they do nothing, that's probably the best way to go because, and you've already brought it up, the world golf points, the ranking points, if they just sit by and do nothing, that situation might resolve itself. And if they don't have enough world ranking points to get in, they won't get in, and it's open. If they want to go try to qualify, go try to qualify. And the PGA of America, I don't know, that's a tricky one to me because to say that their relationship with the PGA Tour is contentious is at times an insult to the word contentious. So I really don't know what they're going to do either.
I'm sort of surprised with how hard of a line PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan has taken on all this. I thought he'd be more on a case-by-case basis rather than the hard line that he's taken. I do think what's going to happen is I do think that the five families, I think they're all going to sit down. And look, there are definitely changes that could happen on the PGA Tour and the LPGA and that would be for the benefit of everyone. I would like to, I talked to TV executives about this. TV executives want something different than 72 holes of stroke play every week. And we've got 72 holes of stroke play every week, probably on a dozen different tours around the world. I hear TV executives, they would like mixed gender events. I'd like to see team events using a format like the LPGA used in the International Crown, where you have four-person teams representing different countries and playing round-robin things, match play. We see it in the Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup every year. Team match play is one of the most exciting formats out there. This might all be something that motivates the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, the DP World Tour, all those tours to talk to each other about what can we do to make our product better. I do expect at some point to see the PGA Tour become the global tour, take over the DP World Tour, and get rid of those events that step on each other's toes. You don't want the European Volvo Masters up against the Memorial Tournament, so players have to decide which one to play. So hopefully this whole LIB thing will be something that gets all of these people to sit down and say, hey, how can we make our product better?
What's the best resolution for this? Is it something like what eventually happened with the USFL, that it went away, but the NFL learned some things and adopted some things from the USFL, and players came back and everything? Is that the best thing that could happen?
I think that as it exists right now, as an 8-event thing this year, I don't think it's going to be all that disruptive. If it stayed in that area, if it tries to get to where it's going to have 15, 20, 25 events, 30 events a year, then it's going to be much more of like a USFL, or even go even more dramatic than that, an AFL situation, right, or the ABA, which, right, both of those forced mergers. I don't think this is going to get that far. First off, the Saudis aren't going to merge with anybody.
No.
If they can't own you, they're not going to deal with you. But I think if it continues to exist right now as this sort of satellite other thing out there, that's not going to be a bad thing. But it is going to be a good thing in the sense that, as I said, it might get the powers that be in the PGA Tour and the European Tour and the LPGA to sit down and talk to each other.
Yeah, there's something to adopting, for lack of a better term, an F1 model to professional golf that would be rather appealing, where you have individual and team. I don't know how they do it. It would require a lot of moving parts. But if we could move towards something like that, that might bring some new eyeballs to the game of golf that otherwise wouldn't be interested.
You know, it's interesting. Golf fans are a tough bunch to move, I still know people, and it's still hard for me. And tell me what you think. I still think in terms of the money list and not FedEx Cup points,
I don't think anybody really, except for the fact that we go, wow, that's a lot of money. Does anybody really give a damn about the FedEx Cup? I just don't think they do.
Yeah, it always throws me for a loop when I hear one of the broadcasters on TV talk in terms of, somebody will miss a putt, and one of the commentators will say, wow, that just cost them a lot of money. And somebody will quickly jump in and say, not to mention FedEx Cup points. well, you don't get the FedEx Cup points as a direct deposit in your bank account on that Monday morning.
From RonCyrak.com and the Golf Channel, that's Ron Cyrak. And when we return, our resident PGA Master teaching professional, Nick Jacoby, takes dead aim at the U.S. Women's Open, Pine Needles, and the LIV Tour with some unique perspective on that. First, how about one last trip by the Greater Golf Express Halfway House? You want super sales and service? Head to the Unboxed Store, Greater Golf Express in Pineville. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. You need it? Greater Golf Express has it, and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza, Pineville.
Attention all golfers, the Unbox Store's Super Sales Event continues.
Are you still shopping at the boring old box store? Stop and head to Greater Golf Express in Pineville, the Unbox Store, where you get super pricing, super service, and super selection. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver, only $299. Save $200. Looking for the Callaway Maverick irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. Ready to stock up on Titleist golf balls? Get the Titleist Pro V1. Pro V1 X Left Dash and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, 2 for $75 while supplies last. Greater Golf Express is located in Pineville in the Centrum Shopping Center right next to Home Depot. If you haven't shopped the Unbox Store, you're paying too much. Bottom line, if your game needs it, Greater Golf Express has it. And has it for less, or GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Nick Jacoby is our resident PGA Master Teaching Professional and the General Manager of Stonebridge Golf Club.
Since we skewered all of the PGA and LIV Tour last week, we'll get into that again here in a second because there's much more news. But I wanted to talk with you about playing tournament golf. This is something that I have sort of immersed myself into the world of. For some reason, I've had more time to do it than ever before. And so this spring, I've played an awful lot of tournament golf. And I've learned a couple of things, or at least learned things to me. And I want you to tell me one by one if I'm true or false or whatnot.
Sure.
Number one, you're not going to win every week, but neither is anyone else.
That is correct. Winning is one of the hardest things to do in any sport, especially golf, because it's individual and obviously there's a lot of competitors. But yes, you are obviously going to lose more than you are going to win.
Because that's the one thing is you win one week and you're like, oh, well, I got this. I'll play the next week. And, right. You know, you may play okay, but chances are you're not going to win. All right, two, and this is big. At the end of the day, if you're playing in a division or whatnot where everybody pretty much hits their golf ball well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if it's that level or if it's the PGA Tour. It all comes down to how many putts over the course of that tournament inside 12 feet for whatever, whether they're to save bogey, to save par, for birdie. How many 12-footers are you going to make in that given tournament? And the person who makes the most is probably going to win the dang thing.
100% agree with that. I just use the PGA Tour as a prime example. When you watch golf on TV, you're seeing the leaders they show all the time on TV. The main difference between what you see on TV and the guys that are still playing not on TV is who is putting better. Those guys obviously are great ball strikers, otherwise they wouldn't be on TV. Putting, it all comes down to putting. Again, drive for show, putt for dough. Who is making the most putts 9 out of 10 times when everyone's hitting the ball relatively the same determines the winner.
Yeah, and there's, you know, you bring up the PGA Tour. The stat combination that's interesting to me, and it usually works out week in, week out, is if you are gaining strokes tee to green at a high clip, and then the higher your clip is at that, if you're just putting inside the top 12, like I think Horschel last week was number 2 or number 1 strokes gained tee to green and was 13th in putting, and you know, you put those two together and he wins by 4 shots in a runaway.
Correct. I mean, we watched back in Jack's heyday, you know, Jack was never, I wouldn't say the best putter by any means on there, but he hit a lot of greens and he had a tremendous advantage from tee to green. So he could be more of the average putter. I mean, Tiger Woods, I think, was a far better putter clutch wise than Jack, or at least it seemed because I watched it, but it seemed like his stats were better because Tiger, I think, was probably a lesser driver of the golf ball than Jack.
Don't know if you got a chance, we hadn't talked about this off air, but wanted to ask you, don't know if you got a chance to watch any of the U.S. Women's Open last weekend. I got to tell you, I was impressed, and I rarely say this about the USGA. I was impressed with their setup at Pine Needles, and my opinion changed at the start of the tournament. You know, they're firing 8-under, 7-under the first day, and I don't want to see 28-under win a U.S. Open. But at the end of the weekend, you know, Pine Needles sort of took, and I was talking with Ron Cyrak about this earlier, Pine Needles sort of took an RNA standpoint of we're not trying to embarrass the best golfers in the world. We're trying to identify them. And at the end of the day, I think, 4 of the top 8 golfers in the world, or 4 of the top 10 golfers were in the top 8. So Pine Needles did its job, and I like that setup. When a course finishes like that, it's done its job.
Pine Needles is great. I've had the fortune to play that place probably 100 times, so I know it very well before and after the most recent renovations. But it is true Donald Ross, and, you know, a couple of the announcers early on were talking about how wide the fairways are. It doesn't matter how wide the fairways are when it's penal, because I personally think the waste bunkers is more penal than rough, because, again, I watched Nelly Korda hit a drive just through the fairway in the bunker, the waste area. They never found it. They watched the ball literally land on camera, could not find it. It's not going to happen in a rough. So, again, Turtleback greens, they were fantastic, and, you know, it got tougher. It was a very warm and dry week, so it was a perfect setup. Again, Pine Needles is a great golf course.
I was also saying this about Pine Needles, and to a certain extent, Mid Pines as well, but since they just played a major at Pine Needles, you bring up the Ross greens, the Turtleback greens. I believe that Pine Needles is more fair than number two. And I say it like this. You can hit a really good shot, not a decent shot, a really good shot into a green at number two and get completely hosed. For example, the green on number three, on number two. You can hit a perfect or what you think is a really good shot into that green and get hosed.
And the fifth hole there is the same
Same deal. Right. Okay. Whereas at Pine Needles, if you hit a really good shot, you will be rewarded for that really good shot. Now, it will punish you for shots that aren't good, as it should. But I think that Pine Needles and its greens in particular are more fair than number two.
I agree. I mean, number two is just more penal. I mean, I've always said the few times I've played number two on each green, probably there's about a third of it where you got to hit the ball in order for the ball to stay on the green. Pine Needles isn't near that penal. I would say it's probably, you know, every bit of half to three quarters if you hit it on, you know, that part of the green, the ball will stay. So I agree 100%.
Now we've got new news to discuss with the LIV Tour. Since the it's getting interesting. As we're recording this, round one is about to get underway in London. Let's talk about some of the new people that are involved. We knew about Kevin Na and DJ when we talked last week. Now, the reemergence of one Phil Mickelson, who, by the way, at his press conference looked like he'd been living under a bridge for a month.
Pretty much. He had the black. Of course, he loves the black, but, you know, no shave and kind of thin. So he might have been living under the bridge. We don't know. There's lots of rumors out there. But, yeah, big news. We got Bryson and Patrick Reed that have jumped ship.
And I think Ricky Fowler's about to do it. And I think that one of the things that really hurts the PGA Tour's position this week, and this is a very fluid thing as far as who is in the best position week to week. When Mike Wann of the USGA, I think the PGA Tour was looking for some solidarity, was looking for someone to say these guys can't play. And Mike Wann said, hey, look, we may change. We maintain the right to change things down the line. But if you are qualified to play in the U.S. Open, then you're going to be allowed to play in the U.S. Open. That's, you know, the open word.
It's open. Same with the, you know, the Open as in the British Open overseas. So again, the Open, it's different than the Masters, which is an invitational. And obviously the PGA is somewhat an invitational. So I agree 100%. You've qualified, all that fun stuff. So my question is going forward, how are the world golf rankings going to affect the LIV Tour as far as do we know exactly the format they're playing this week?
Yeah, it is. It is essentially the LIV Tour essentially is taking a Formula One model in that you have team play.
Right.
And you also have individual play.
Better ball team-wise, right?
And, right. You pick the best. There's going to be, four guys on a team. Excuse me, 12 teams, 48 guys. Four guys on a team, and each team takes the two best.
Gotcha. It's going to be interesting. So, again, that's not going to affect it. I couldn't remember the exact rules. So, world golf rankings, obviously, you got world-class players. They're going to get world golf points. So, going forward, as we talk about, you know, U.S. Open, of course, if a guy's in the top 50, he gets exempt, or top 100, wherever the rule is, the U.S. Open gets exempt. So, they're going to earn world golf rankings for that. So, it's going to be very interesting going forward to see. I predict lots more are going to jump ship. I think they just signed two amateurs or two college players, too, I do believe. Is that you hear that? Or
two young guys who right.
So, again, it's going to come down as you know, we talk about Caleb Surratt, who's obviously a great player here in the area. You know what? If he goes off and has a great year, his first year in college, wins a couple times, is one of the best college players, what's going to keep him from jumping ship if they're going to throw $50 to $100 million at him?
Well, and that's the thing. You and I, we know Caleb's parents. We know Caleb's dad. We know the sacrifices that his family has made for him to play amateur golf at the highest level. And if someone all of a sudden says, you know, we'll set you up with $20 million over the next 2 years, who are we to say you can't do that? You shouldn't do that. Why are you doing that? It's a tough thing.
Absolutely. And again, if I'm in his boat or his shoes, how do you not say yes? So it's going to be very interesting going forward. I think they're going to have to both sit down. LIV Tour, PGA Tour are going to have to sit down, and obviously the DP World Tour, aka the European Tour, going to have to sit down at the table and quit playing, you know, these games or trying to play chess. In other words, right now they got to sit down at the table and say, listen, how can we all coexist? The bottom line is the LIV Tour is going to put more money in people's pockets, and the PGA Tour is going to come off the hip with all this money they got sitting in the bank. They're going to have to start paying people more.
Well, and you bring up something that the more I've heard and the more I've thought about it, I almost hate that Monahan has taken such a Clint Eastwood position when he really didn't need to. Until they decide, how world golf ranking points are going to be distributed off this LIV Tour, let the problem sort of take care of itself. If they're not getting world golf ranking points or not enough world golf ranking points because of strength of field, that affects their status in terms of being eligible for the Masters, their status in terms of being eligible for the Open or the U.S. Open. Now, they'll be eligible to try to qualify.
Right.
Okay, for those two events, but everybody is. You and I can go out and try to qualify for the Open or the U.S. Open. So I almost hate that they've taken that hardline stance when they really didn't need to yet. I'm going to be very curious to see what it's like going forward. And I was thinking down the line yesterday, what could happen at the end of the day? Okay, let's say the LIV Tour lasts for 2 years.
Right.
Okay, 2 years. Are there things that the LIV Tour is going to introduce to the world of golf that all of a sudden the PGA Tour goes, you know, this would be good. You know, case in point, when the ABA merged with the NBA, what was adopted? The 3-point line. A lot of people don't know this. The camera angle that you see in the NFL that runs, and you can see it when you go to the stadium, that runs down the center of the field.
Yeah.
And the overhead shots that you see are from the line of scrimmage,
NFL, right?
That's the XFL. The NFL took it from that. So there may be something. And I got to tell you, especially with gambling becoming a bigger part of golf, there's something to this team golf situation.
And where, shorter events, too, every once in a while.
Right, right. And not only that, but with no cut, it's easier to gamble because you know who's going to be there. And so, you know, I think we could see at the, you know, at the end of the day, I think we could see smaller PGA Tour fields, which would mean that, and whereas right now I think the top 125 are exempt, you could see maybe the top 100 or top 90 exempt for the next year. You know, I think we could see smaller PGA Tour fields. I think we'll still see 4-day events because of sponsor commitments and whatnot, but you may not see a cut.
Right.
You may see a team golf situation come
or
into
a couple
play.
Of them.
Right, where it just gives a little more, you know, juice every weekend, something else to follow where, you know, you may have a thing of, let's say your team TaylorMade, just to throw out a name, and someone has to make a cut or, you know, if they have a cut, or someone needs to make a 6-foot putt for par.
Right.
And if that person makes a putt for par, and they don't even realize it, but if they make that putt for par, their team wins the team championship for the year and splits $30 million. There's, you know, there's something other than that final group on Sunday to watch and to be interested in.
You know, it's also funny. They're doing shotgun starts, which I don't know if they've ever done that in a PGA Tour event. But you know what? I think there's a time and a place where that can actually be kind of fun to do that. You know what? And what hole you start on is determined by your ranking. Or, you know, if you're the number one guy, you can start on number one. But if you're at the bottom of the field, then you're going to start on 17 or 18 or a tougher hole. So, again, I don't like it every week, but you know what? Every once in a while, it makes it kind of interesting. These guys are playing the same formats that you and I play in. Shotgun start, you know, you draw the hardest hole right out of the gate, a par three over water into the wind. You're like, man, I got to bust a 5-iron right out of the gate. So, again, a little bit here and there I think can be good all around.
You know, the shotgun start doesn't bother me the more I've thought about it, because who among us hasn't played a tournament with a shotgun start? Every damn one of us that has ever picked up a golf club has played a tournament with a shotgun start. And from a viewer standpoint, everybody's on the court. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than when you're watching a major championship and coverage begins at 10 in the morning. Leaders don't tee off till 2:30.
Yes.
Well, that's a, you know, what are we doing here? But if everyone's on the course at once, man, you're zipping around all over the place and you're seeing all the best players at one time. I think it's, from a television standpoint, it's great.
It's great. College golf does it. I mean, those guys, I know guys play 36 holes usually the first day of any event, which is shotgun start. So again, I think a lot of good can come out of it, worst case. But again, as we all know, when you got a rival, it's got to sit down the table and work it out. But again, PGA Tour is playing hardball right now, but we'll see what happens.
From Stonebridge Golf Club, that's PGA Master Teaching Professional Nick Jacoby. A reminder, the video component to his weekly visit, 2 Minutes with Nick Jacoby, is online now at foxsportsradiocharlotte.com, or just click on the link on our Facebook page. I'd also like to thank Ron Cyrak of ronsyrak.com and the Golf Channel for his time and insight this week. A reminder, speaking of that Facebook page, give us a follow on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like. Posted there now links to articles on the latest goings on in and around the world of golf.
Weather-wise, hit and miss. It's that time of the year in the Carolinas. That being said, if you do put a peg in the ground this weekend, let this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. Remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. You want super sales and service? Head to the Unbox Store. Greater Golf Express in Pineville. Get Titleist Pro V1, Pro V1X Left Dash, and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, 2 for $75 while supplies last. You need it? Greater Golf Express has it, and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Plaza, Pineville.
Attention all golfers, the Unbox Store's Super Sales Event continues.
Are you still shopping at the boring old box store? Stop and head to Greater Golf Express in Pineville. The Unbox Store, where you get super pricing, super service, and super selection. Get the TaylorMade M4 driver, only $299. Save $200. Looking for the Callaway Maverick irons? Save $100 off the 7-piece set at Greater Golf Express. Tried the Callaway Maverick driver yet? Get to Greater Golf Express and save $200. Now only $299.99. Ready to stock up on Titleist golf balls? Get the Titleist Pro V1, Pro V1X Left Dash, and Titleist AVX Prior Generation Logo Overruns, 2 for $75 while supplies last. Greater Golf Express is located in Pineville in the Centrum Shopping Center right next to Home Depot. If you haven't shopped the Unbox Store, you're paying too much. Bottom line, if your game needs it, Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less, or GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.